I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This shrewd man, this mighty man, this man with the plan that we've been so wonderfully blessed to observe for the past few moments, loved his people, went to the cross, secured their salvation, and this passage says that they would be with him where he is, where he was going, to heaven itself. And I'd like to speak to you this evening about the realized hope of heaven, our wonderful life. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Some of you would like that to happen real soon, wouldn't you? For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." So where is your hope to see? Is it not in the man with the plan? The shrewd man? The strong man that accomplished what he came to do for his bride? Is it not in the truth that heaven awaits us because he loved us and fulfilled his plan? And here, his love for his people was so grand that he endured that cross. And it was so that his bride would be with him with no pain, no tears, no death, and be able to take of the tree of the water of life forever and ever and ever. Proverbs 12 and 13 says that a hope that is deferred maketh the heart sick. We all have hope in a lot of different things in this world. I don't know what your hope has been in. I hoped when I became a teenager everything would be better than when I was, you know, just in single digits. And then I hoped when I got out of high school everything would be wonderful in college. And that didn't work out so well. And then I had hopes that when I got married, life would be blissful. And it's been good. But there have been moments when it wasn't blissful. And life goes on. And you think when the children leave home, bliss will return. And you think you'll pray less because their lives are now settled and they have married decent sort of folks, and that didn't work out. And then grandkids come, and instead of having three to pray for, you have a dozen to pray for and worry yourself sick to death all night long because now they're driving and now they're going off to college, and you begin to lose hope that this life is really all you thought it would be. But is that the end of hope? Now it is true, whatever your hope is in Christ, if your hope in Christ is only in this world, you're miserable. And there's a lot of health and wealth gospel that leads people to despair. In fact, someone has quoted and made this statement that the youth expecting that their hunt for happiness was only in this life have become the most depressed generation of any generation. And so our hope is in the cross that's accomplished for us, heaven. Because in heaven, every hope that you've longed for will be brought to fruition. In fact, there's an old Irish proverb that says that hope is the physician for every misery. That is a hope that's brought to fruition. And Paul went so far to say as that we are saved by this hope. You know the passage. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Because in this present life, we're subject to futility and vanity. He says just above that. The creature was made subject to vanity. Everything we've ever hoped in and thought it would be the end all was a vain thought. And will never fully come to fruition. And then he says, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What's that saying? If we're going to be delivered from corruption, that means everything in this world is corrupting. Everything's decaying. Everything's going south. Nothing's getting better. The world's winding down. You're looking a little older since this morning. Probably need to comb my hair as well. Friends, the world is in decay. We are waxing as a society and the world around towards the end when it will be much worse than it is now. Then he says, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Since everything's vain and everything's decaying, there's no hope. Oh? No, actually, Paul said, there's a helmet of hope that we can actually put on and get through life. And that's, he said, that hope, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, for we are saved by hope. Do you know in Ephesians 1, when the Apostle Paul prays for the church that he pastors, or the church that he, at least at Ephesus, perhaps Timothy's there now, but anyway, those that he cares so much about. He prays that their hope will be strong. I thought about that and my prayer for the people I try to serve. He said he prayed that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of their calling. That's what we need to be praying each other for, because if we're to get through this life, we're going to have to be looking to the man with the plan that was the strong man, that was the man who had his face set towards Jerusalem, that was going there to purify his bride so that his bride one day would be in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and earth, and have no pain, no tear, no sorrow, and no death. And that's our hope, and it's not here. We're getting all out of sorts because things are going south, and things were never promised to go greatly here. Our hope is heaven. That was the man's plan, right? His plan wasn't that everything would be good here. The gospel's good, but it's good because it's telling about there. Not about here. And the Apostle Paul, when he was to be really incarcerated, they're attempting to take him, it was because of the hope of the resurrection that he even endured what he endured, and no doubt was eventually martyred. Friends, this hope of heaven, This anticipation that everything in this world will put you, and I'm not against medication. Please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Please don't misunderstand me or misquote me. Please don't. There's a place for medication. I'm not saying that. But to make my point, I'm going to say it this way. If you and I put all of our hopes in this world, it will put us on pills. Please do not misunderstand me. And if you're struggling, I understand your struggle. I do. I've been on medication myself. I understand your pain. But the hope that Christ has accomplished for us is heaven. There will be no pain, no sorrow, no tears, and no death. That's heaven. And heaven is not here. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my hope. And so the passage before us speaks to us about three aspects of this hope and what heaven is going to be. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He says, it's home. It's home. I enjoy looking back when I was a kid, being at home. When I'm away on a preaching trip and Charlotte hasn't come with me, I can't wait till my responsibility is done, the last message is preached, and I'm headed home. I long to go home. We're leaving tonight, right after services. I've loved being here. I love you, brethren. I don't know what I'd do without you. Every year, this is a highlight of my year. You brethren, just build me up. You have a wonderful spirit in this area. God's blessing you. The preaching is wonderful, but I'm wanting to go home. And friends, there's a longing in your soul that is never going to be satisfied here. Amen. Heaven is home. Amen. Not here. There's a country there, we're told, that Abraham look for that city which had foundations. But the builder and maker is God, and it's that country, it's not this country. Christians must come to the place to understand heaven is home, and we're going there, but we're not there yet. And therefore, we'll endure anything to get there. Listen, I've had flat tires, ran out of gas, had the generator go out, alternator, whatever it was. You know, the kids screaming, you know, everything goes wrong, but we're going home, and we just keep on trucking.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And that's what we've got to understand. The man with the plan made us a home. In John 17, he was praying for us that we'd be there and see his glory and know at that time we were loved as he was loved.
Amen.
Now that's home. I know at home that I'm loved. I told Sister Polly, if it was all right, I was going to use this example. But we've been with them for 3 days. I've been opening the refrigerator, getting what I want. If there's leftovers on the counter and I want to eat them, I just take them. Now, I don't know what she thought about it, but when the sausage was there from breakfast and I wanted it at 10 o'clock last night, I just opened the Ziploc bag and started eating. For some strange reason, I thought a cup of coffee would taste good at 10 o'clock. They're still watching the Tennessee game and neglecting their company. And so I made... Who would think that anybody would want a cup of coffee at 65 years of age when coffee keeps you awake? But I wanted a cup of coffee with my piece of sausage. So I made myself a cup of coffee. Friends, I was at home.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't being judged. I wasn't looked down upon. Everything that was there was mine.
Yeah.
In heaven, you are joint heirs with Christ.
Yeah.
It's home.
Yeah.
When I was in my mother and father's home, anything they had, I had. Do you get it?
Right.
You can't have everything that you want here. Get it out of your mind.
Right.
In fact, you don't need everything you think you need here. Heaven is your home.
Right.
That's where home is. Isn't it interesting how off track we get? How many of you watch HGTV? I can tell you it's on far too many hours at my house.
Amen to that, brother.
Chip and Amanda Gaines just live up at Waco. You know, that's just 100 miles north of Austin. My dear wife, who's given me a totally blissful marriage, I'm getting in trouble now. Thought she would go up there and it would be like home. Just to see Chip and Amanda Gaines. What, Charlotte?
Joanna
Gaines. I'm sorry, I haven't watched it enough. I've watched Flip or Flop and all the rest of them. But anyway. She said it wasn't like it was home. She said it was like a tourist trap. Maybe that wasn't her word. She was kinder than that. Friends, there is no home here for God's little children. Not if you get a total makeover at your house. It's still going to lack something. That's the point. I was reading a while back, and there was this author who, rather this sociologist who had studied different cultures. And he studied the slaves in America back when they were perhaps under great bondage. And his assessment was their hope of a heavenly home. Now, I know there were many good masters. I'm not saying that. I'm saying any of us under hardship, and this culture was particularly studied under their hardship, And the assessment was, the deduction was, I should say, their hope of heaven kept them going. Swing low, sweet chariot. Can you imagine somebody under the hot sun? Maybe their back's been whipped. I'm not saying it was all that way. I'm just giving an example. Coming for to carry me home. I got looking at that, started searching online, and I just got choked up in my study. Looking at some of those old spirituals, those people sang. It was more like a chant. Steal away. Here they are out in the midst of a wretched life. I'm not casting stones at anybody. I'm just saying anybody that's under oppression needs an out.
Yeah.
And here's something they sang. Steal away. It's more of a chant than a song. Steal away. Steal away. It'll get you if you just look it up and follow it through. I've just got one line here. Steal away to Jesus. Steal away. Steal away. Steal away home. I haven't got long to stay here. Steal away home. Friends, we are so blessed. We are so down in the mouth. Friends, we've forgotten who we are. I'm not saying things are good. I'm saying we've forgotten the man with the plan that was the strong man, that was the wise man, the man with the flint that purchased his bride to go to heaven. And we're going to be home. And these brethren, in their minds, just stealed away in the midst of their hardship. They stole away to home. Well, secondly, we have a perfect love. And I heard a great voice of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." It's this bride that's adorned. A perfect love. I don't know if you know it or not. But everything you and myself included long for is a perfect love. That's what we long for. Nothing between us and somebody else. We're afraid people really find out about us. You know, I have some thoughts about certain scriptures. If you knew, would you want me up here? You know, I'm kind of afraid to preach on some things, right? You're afraid if somebody knew about something somewhere, sometime, maybe just a thought. But here's a perfect love. The God of glory prepared a home for you. He knows all about you. And loved you anyway. In fact, Romans 5... so plain, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Heaven is our home, and heaven is perfect love. Perfect love, without spot, without blemish, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. I mean, there's really nothing to complain about, is there? No, we are headed home to heaven and will be blessed with perfect love. Thirdly, we will have simply the wonderful life. We were going down the road, I don't know, it's been within the last several months. Charlotte's on her phone And I don't know what she was looking at. I think she was looking at where we stopped at the motel that night. Maybe we'd rent a movie. And so she's scrolling through what are the best movies that have ever been. And then she came across the 50 most inspirational movies ever. Now, I don't know if you can trust this website or not, but the one that came up was It's a Wonderful Life. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but the point I'm trying to get at is heaven will be a wonderful life.
Yeah.
You know, I think, well, if my life was like this, you think if my life was like somebody else, if we could be like them, you know, on and on we go. No, we've got it. It's coming. We have a home with perfect love, and we will have a wonderful life. It's just that simple. In fact, I think we need to think of heaven, we need to think of eternal life as much in quality as we do quantity.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yes, sir.
Quantity is that we'll be there forever.
Right.
But friends, if there wasn't much quality, you wouldn't want to be there forever.
That's right.
But it's a wonderful life. And what makes it the most wonderful life, he goes on to tell us here, and he said, I am Alpha and Omega. And he says, he that is athirst drinks of this fountain, and his thirst is assuaged. Chapter 22, he showed me a pure river, a river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. What's he saying? We are dry, our souls are longing to be filled. Our souls are languishing for home, for love, for the wonderful life. Every one of us that have been quickened in the newness of life long for something else. This isn't right. Something's wrong. It's not like it's supposed to be. I don't like the way things are. And he's saying there, we will drink of the river, of the tree, the water of life. Our every thirst you're longing for, that's for, though it's distorted often, isn't it? Perfect relationship, perfect experiences, fulfilling desires, all of that, though it gets so distorted, it'll be totally fulfilled there as we just drink in full the water of life flowing from the throne of God forever and ever and ever and ever. I love y'all so much. God bless you richly.